You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's The Americans After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Americans After Show.
I like the dance.
Yeah.
Nice intro.
Going for it.
We should learn an 80s dance.
We should. It's 80s and Russian. Bing is for doing. And we are here doing another episode of The Americans here at AfterBuzz TV for you. This is episode 4 called In Control from season 1. This show just keeps getting better.
Should we say who we are? Who are you?
Yes, I am Lauren Leonelli.
Who are you?
I am Jennifer Golden.
Who are you?
I'm Joe Braswell.
I literally just came in here. I don't know these people. I'm Ralph Cornett, an editor at IGN Entertainment.
Well, we're glad to have the band back together. We kind of started us three, Jed and Roth and I.
Right.
And we have our lovely, lovely addition here, Joe. And now we're all together.
Yep.
This is where it stops getting polite.
Us three, and now we're all together. That's right.
Starts getting real.
When someone's missing, it's like, what are you doing, spying or something?
Well, that's what Roth was doing. I mean...
It's fine.
She can't talk about it.
I was back in Mother Russia.
That's what we figured.
Okay.
But as I was saying, this show just keeps getting better.
It does.
It does.
Yep.
Isn't it amazing? You guys love it. I wasn't with you the last couple of weeks, so I'm so excited. Did you love it more and more each time?
Yeah, I did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, last week we talked a lot about the dynamic of it being a really good sort of relationship drama on one hand and a really good spy thriller action. Mm-hmm. And so I really appreciate both. And it's well acted, well directed. The spy stuff is amazing. I love it. It's really amazing. You know, we've talked about it over and over again, but seeing people spy in the 80s using 80s devices, codes and dead drops and, you know.
Transmitters.
And those special potions to, like, figure out what the code really said, dip the paper
ads
in.
Ads in the classifieds. Yeah. All that stuff is amazing.
Isn't that so fun?
It's cool. And then to see this whole very complex relationship drama play out between Elizabeth and Philip is also remarkable.
Oh, yeah.
So the show is really, really complex and really well done. I love it.
Yeah. I think one of the things that we were saying, too, in the first episode that I think is more and more true is that it's allowed to be really fun. It's allowed to be a spy drama about real life events, but they're allowed to be really fun, even this one, because it's with hindsight. Right. You know, we know that Reagan was okay. We know, you know, well, not everybody, Brady wasn't okay. He was paralyzed, but Reagan was okay. And we know that the Cold War ended and things like that.
Right.
So you wanted to set us up with some historical context about attempted assassination on Reagan.
Well, no, I was thinking, we were just talking about just sort of what happened, because as we were going through the episode, I think all of us were like, well, wait, what and how and what? You know, even I, who am probably the oldest one here.
Why would we ever tell that?
I'll say yes.
Yeah,
well, I'm not.
Would we ever admit that?
I just turned 21, so I'm assuming that you're...
I'm 16.
Well, okay, well, I'm 30. No, I was 10 when this happened. So, yeah, that makes me old. So I was 10 when this happened. I don't remember specifically. Yeah, that's it. That's me. You know who's older than me? Jay-Z, LL Cool J.
That's right.
Will Smith.
That's right.
They're all 2 years older than me.
So see?
So we're all cool. We're all in the same sentence.
That's right.
So anyway, back then, the thing was that Reagan got shot, and it was chaos for a moment because Reagan was shot. With him was the next in line is George Bush Sr.
Right.
Who was
on a plane
in the air. Mm-hmm. And the next in line after that would be the Speaker of the House, mm-hmm. who was shot
mm-hmm.
at the time. So the next in line presumably would be the Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who basically said, I'm in charge.
who said, who grabbed the mic and said, "I'm in charge. I'm running this bitch," mm-hmm, yeah, which is what he said, which freaked everyone out. Alexander
and then
Haig.
And then he said, "Word," after he said,
right,
that.
"Word." And isn't he? He's ex-military, right?
I believe he was. And then he. But I think the other thing too is that this was only 64 days into Reagan's presidency,
right?
And the U.S. was just coming out pretty recently from the Iran-Contra, mm-hmm, and the hostage crisis,
right?
And everyone was really on edge, and it's in the middle of the Cold War. It's a very heightened situation.
Right.
And I think that what Nina said that was so cool and so true, and of course they harken back to the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, this one little thing that sets off a world war.
Right. Right.
Any little mistake and that's it. And that's what he gets. And what's so cool, they bring the relationship drama in because he gets it. Mm-hmm. She doesn't get it.
She's just ready to pounce on anything. Yeah. Like, I think that her laser beam focus is sometimes a fault. Like, mm-hmm, she's very highly trained and she's really, like, eyes on the prize. Like we talked about before, she basically had kids to make this plan to, you know, to bring it all to fruition. I think that there comes a point in time, though, when her level of focus becomes irrational almost. And in this situation, that's what happened.
Yeah. What's interesting is the flashbacks to her mom and everything about her saying, you know, don't rely on anyone else. You, mm-hmm, can only rely on yourself. The interesting thing is she doesn't rely on other people. She relies on a country of people. And people that she really can't trust because everybody's a spy and lies and has fake names and this Claudia woman. And, like, you know, there's so many lies that she actually is trusting that it's interesting because that's her Achilles heel.
Exactly.
Is trusting the wrong people when she should be trusting her husband, Philip.
She's learning.
She's learning slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that she's driven by her ideology. I mean, she's entirely devoted to it. And I think what's cool about that contrast is you have this person on the one side that you hope are going to be the people in these positions that his ultimate goal is, like, let's not have war if we can avoid it. Why do you want everyone to die for no good reason?
Which was a great, great that he said that, mm-hmm, because she's just all about, like, let's do this. Come on, let's get the gun. Let's go. We're setting up for Operation Christopher. Bam, bam, bam. And he's like, hold on.
She's about the job. I mean, she's a soldier. So I have my orders. This is what it is.
He looks at the big picture. She's like I said, the laser beam focus, it's becoming like a negative fault of almost, you know? I mean, she's like a highly trained, you know, spy, which is great, but he's looking at the big picture, like, look, we've got children. We are in America. Like, let's try and prevent
this. But he's looking at the big, big picture. I mean, he gets the fact that if she, that they don't have everything under control.
Well,
that it's going to be so easy, because the technology really isn't there the way it is now. It's going to be so easy to misinterpret these events, mm-hmm, and land them in the middle of World War III.
Right. Another thing there, you know, talking about, there's a change that's happening too in terms of what the way they're spying. I mean, mm-hmm, this is what we're seeing. Like, a colleague of mine, Andy Greenwald, was talking about this before. Like, you know, before, the spying was all about, you know, from the 60s and 40s, it was all about, like, real espionage type things. And, like, you see a little bit of that when they kidnap the maid, when it's like, we have this poison, we've injected it into you, da da da. All that stuff, really, all they had to do was hold a pillow over the dude's head.
The whole time.
Yeah. But they had this old eloquent plan of how to do it. And then I think they're sort of seeing that the way you spy and the way things are sort of changing. And I'll say all that to say that, you know, Philip is starting to realize that, and Elizabeth isn't. Elizabeth's like, we have our orders. We have it. Get the guns. We're doing the thing. This is what it is. And he's like, well, maybe there's some nuanced way to go about this here.
There's a lot of gray.
Our job is to sort of evaluate on the ground and not just be soldiers.
Right.
You know.
What does that mean? No. What is? I don't know what that bell meant.
We were, like, on the same page. I think that's what that was.
That was what that meant.
So, but, yeah.
So going back to what you guys were saying about how, you know, the Speaker of the House, right? Yeah. Secretary of State, Alexander Haig. Right. How he was saying, I'm in control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the flip side to that, it's like, good, somebody is. Thank God. Because everybody else is not here.
Well, we're also speaking about this, and back to the historical recap, which you can elaborate on more, is that that's sort of what the chain of command sort of happens when something like this goes on. This person's in charge, but if this person's not there, this person's in charge. Almost just so that there's not
Chaos.
Moment of nobody in charge, because like in a place like Russia where something like that would happen, it would just people would take over, like a general, for
right.
example.
Well, they talked about this, you know, they made reference to it twice in the episode. They talked yeah. about Stalin, when they talked about when Elizabeth was a little girl,
mm-hmm.
and when Stalin passed, and you know, things were uncertain there. But Philip made reference to it too, saying like, when our leaders died, our last two leaders died, no one said anything for like 2 weeks.
And they, yeah,
you know? Like, no, and so behind the scenes, generals are making plays, people are making plays, there's power plays.
Other
being
countries
made.
Still do that to this day.
Exactly, but, sure. it, but it's not like that here. Yeah. But the Russians don't know that.
But that's the thing is that there is a reason that, and I think that's what Nina was there to elaborate on too. There is yeah. a reason that they think that this would mean a coup. If the Secretary of State is coming in and saying, I'm in control, there's a reason that they would interpret that to mean, okay, we're in a coup. Right. I thought it was interesting that they had this whole Operation Christopher in place.
Right.
But also, just really to be fair to Elizabeth for a second,
yeah.
I mean, there is something to be said for the man on the wall. You know what I mean? There is something to be yeah. said for that person. I mean, there is something to be said for that person that doesn't hesitate. Now, yeah. we're looking at it like we're Americans, that's the enemy, right? But yeah. she's still, if it was the opposite situation and she was fighting for us, she's still, there's something to be said for that person that doesn't hesitate.
Yeah.
However,
right.
shooting this poor cop in the head.
Yeah.
That was crazy. We actually have a caller.
Oh, do we?
Do yeah. we?
Okay.
Someone's going to correct our history right now. How do you go?
I don't think so. I think we were pretty on point about the history, yeah. y'all.
Okay.
Verse 7.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to After Buzz TV. Who are we talking to? Hello.
Hello.
Nobody's there. Martin.
Nobody home.
Hello.
Caller. This is the part where you talk. Okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. Try us again, though. We're
trying
at us.
Yeah, try us again if that was, like, some sort of misconnection. But, yeah, oh, my gosh. I want to – is somebody saying something that's wrong
yeah,
here?
I don't think so.
Maybe it's not a correction.
Why are we assuming that?
No.
No, that was
just
me.
Making
just
a joke.
That. No.
In any event, I think that for Elizabeth, she isn't all bad. And I think that one of the things that she said that struck me was, don't you remember when it was about something more than just being – I think that the thing I like about her that keeps getting repeated is that one of the problems she has is the acquisitiveness
right.
that she yeah. sees in the U.S. And that's true.
Well,
you know, that you can't really argue that that's a reality.
Right.
And also in her her defense.
Further proof that I'm a Russian spy.
That's what she wants. She clearly relates a lot to them. So
I don't. I'm just saying I think that we can't make her entirely the bad guy.
No, I don't think so.
Well,
I don't think so.
Even although when she killed that guy, I felt a little differently about
well,
it.
Well, hold on. But at the same time, I sort of, to interject, she's there and she's like, oh, officer, playing the like, yeah. you know, helpless woman. I feel like because we're watching the story through their eyes, in those moments, you're like, oh, shoot, how are you? I don't want her to die, and I don't yeah. want Philip to die. So I'm like, yeah. how's she going to get out of it? When she shot the security guard, I was like, oh, snap, that was cray. She yeah. just shot him in the head. At the
wow.
same time, I'm not like...
He was a
thinking
sweet
she's
guy,
bad.
Too.
I wasn't thinking. I mean, right. shoot, she. I don't want her to die.
Yeah. Well, God know? Forbid we think of the Russian spies trying to take down America as bad guys.
But, I know, right?
Yeah.
Like we have hindsight.
No,
but
sure.
I mean, I think that that's fair. Of course we do because we're Americans and we were very much raised that way.
Right.
I mean, we were indoctrinated that way, but so were they.
Yeah.
But by the way, they were also sitting in a van with a sniper rifle.
Yeah. yeah.
So they killed the one guy They killed the one guy that was in their way to do nothing.
Right. Well, to prevent them from getting caught.
Right. Yeah. But at the same time, they weren't going to do anything. And if they did, that would have been maybe a war that started. So,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
no, I mean, I'm with
it's
you.
A it's a life that didn't necessarily need to be.
Well, yeah.
Oh, of course not. But I wasn't, to finish what I was saying, I wasn't like, oh, well, they're the Russian spies, so I hope the cops come and get them.
Right.
You're emotionally attached to these people.
Right.
And you couldn't be unless they had that B storyline going
sure.
the whole time of their relationship, which is why it's there.
Absolutely.
So that's
right.
why I'm like, no, don't. Oh, gosh, you got to get out of this somehow, even though they're the Russians.
Right.
I kind of still want them to not be so violent. Like,
yeah.
I get that you're
yeah.
a spy. Let's just be, like,
gotta
intel spies. Let's not be killer spies.
Gotta
it,
do what
it
you gotta
does
do.
Make
right.
it, I think it's a cool thing because it's a very real thing, and I'm sure it was a very real part of that reality, and
yeah.
it still is to this day on both sides. And it's one of those things where you are connecting with this person, and now it's more difficult to, which I think is a cool thing.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about last week about the storytelling here. Like, we talked talked about maybe this is the new way to tell stories, which as opposed to you're following them as protagonists, but it's really not about the good guys or the bad guys. We're following the FBI, we're following the Russians, but it's really just we're telling this one big long story, and this is what's happening along the line. So there is no really good guys or bad guys. We're kind of just watching this, real time. And so there is that. Also, I think that in Elizabeth's defense, if we're defending her, like she's not really doing anything wrong. She's doing her job. She's really, really, really good at being a spy.
Exactly.
She's a great spy. Like she can kick ass. She takes orders. She knows what she's doing. And frankly, Philip is really good at being a spy.
They just
do it different. They just do it different approaches. So neither of them are wrong, and that's probably why they work well together. It's like yin yang.
Keeping it real, though, we love Philip.
Right.
We do.
I mean, reality.
Yeah.
We still love Philip.
I would assume though that to be a good spy, you should probably be an all-around good spy, not just be excellent at making rash decisions action really quickly.
But I think you never know. They could have been purposely put together as a team for that exact reason.
Right.
Or they could just work on their own.
Yeah.
So.
And they do sometimes work on their own, which we saw in this episode as well.
But think of it again. Pretend that Philip and Elizabeth were American spies in a different country. Pretend that for a second and think about the guy. Which one of them would you think is the loose cannon when the guy is thinking betraying his country and that's us?
Right.
Which one of us is the loose cannon? Well, then, because it's just perspective switch.
Yeah.
In that situation,
they just happen to be.
Well, that's why the show's so good. That's why the show is so good, because it puts us in, like, if this show were about a sleeper cell that were two Al Qaeda sleeper cells, we wouldn't be as sympathetic.
We couldn't watch it. Yeah.
But if it's about
too soon, exactly.
But wait, though. But that's kind of why Homeland works, because you've got this guy that we compare the show to all the time that you don't know. I mean, you watch him flip-flop like between being emotionally being emotionally attached to America and because he's from America and he was a SEAL and whatever, and then his whatever happened to him when he was captured
a lot.
And you watch him sort of flip-flop. You wouldn't be able, if you knew he was just one thing, you wouldn't care as much. So I think that's why it works to have them flip-flopping here in this show, because you're like,
but I think that the conceit that works about Homeland is again that Brody was a Marine, was tortured for several years. Uh-huh. There are things that are inherently going to make us sympathetic towards Brody, where I think it would be more difficult, if we didn't have that kind of entryway into his perspective.
Right.
And to be sympathetic towards him. Like this again, we have the distance of time, that allows
and
us.
And hindsight, like you mentioned.
Yeah, time, hindsight, and she's hot, he's hot. It's the 80s.
They're really charming. Boom. It's the 80s. It's fun. I mean, there's something. Mm-hmm.
Their disguises, I'm sorry.
Their disguises are fun.
Kill me. Every time. We're like, who are these new characters?
She puts on a trench coat and an awful wig.
Yeah. It has like a little Mr. and Mrs. Smith thing going on in that way, where it's just really, it's more lighthearted in that way than Homeland, where you're like,
she's not fooling anyone in that way.
Homeland, she's not.
Homeland, we don't have the hindsight. Like, we don't know this is all kind of currently happening, so we don't know what's next. This, we know the end game, we know, so we're like, okay, we can let loose and have fun. It helps that it's in the 80s because the costumes and the music and the cars, and we're kind of laughing about like, oh, geez, they better get on their iPhone, they better check the internet and see what's going on now,
which isn't available.
Right.
It's really interesting to see these different ways. I'm really interested in the way that people are telling stories nowadays. I keep going back to that. But, this device of having hindsight and using, a real life event. We know what happened with Reagan. We know that this is only one day. But it really brought us back to that day, because in that, 12 hours, no one knew what the hell was going on. And it was really a short amount of time where, president shot, this person's dead, Bush is in the air. He's like, I'm in control, you're in control. Like, it was such a panic moment.
Right.
And so we felt that through there. But the story of telling about being able to have history in your rearview mirror, people criticize it with the newsroom.
Sure.
I know the show, people criticize it because they're using it a year ago and you're kind of able to rewrite history in the way. People kind of didn't like that. But
you're able to say, this is what should have happened.
This is what should have happened. Yeah. But this is a really great way to tell a story.
I think what's cool about this episode, too, is like, like, this is what could have happened
right.
that day if things had gone just a little bit yeah. to the,
in a
to
matter
the left,
of hours.
That way.
Yeah, exactly.
In a matter of hours.
Because there were absolutely spies doing what they were doing
oh,
back
for
then.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Sure. We know there were.
Right. For I would sure. love to know who was the one to be like, no, probably not. Yeah. Let's yeah. not tell them that one.
Well, I mean, we don't know that this exact situation would have happened, but I thought what was cool with the whole Operation Christopher thing is like suddenly it could have been like Red Dawn up in this business
right.
and like a full-on hostile takeover. I don't think, to be honest, I just don't think that it would have escalated to nuclear war like that if that had happened. And the truth
know.
Is, like,
I don't know either.
There would be no uprising inside.
I remember the 80s.
Inside the United States.
I remember the 80s. I remember being terrified of nuclear war every day. I remember yeah. being literally like the day after that movie. There was a movie called The Day After that came on. I was literally scared of nuclear war all the time. So,
well, Reagan was scared of. I mean, I've read different accounts of Reagan, but you know how she's like, Reagan's so crazy. Like, mm-hmm. do you hear the things that they say about us? Blah blah. Blah, blah, blah. What's so cool about that is that I've read that he was doing that. He was terrified of nuclear war. And yeah. so his plan was, like, what he wanted to do was make the other side think that he was more insane than them. Right. And that at any given minute, he would could. Hit that button. Mm-hmm. Because he felt like if they thought he was insane and out of control, it would keep them in check
right.
and help to resolve the Cold War faster. And so I think it's really interesting because her perspective.
Love that tactic. Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've read that. I don't know if that's, you know, I've read that.
You know, what am I do?
And so what's really interesting is from her perspective, she's like, this guy is insane because he did sound insane. Like if you go back and you read some of the stuff, you're like, he's going to go to war any second, you know?
Right.
But he said that was just his like they are now saying, and who knows if this is revisionist history or whatever, that was his tactic because he was terrified of nuclear war and wanted to.
I would say his temperament seemed a little bit more terrorist. I mean, not terrorist, terrified. Sorry, not terrorist at all.
Right.
Oh boy, edit that one out. He seemed a little bit more terrified than.
I have no. I mean, this isn't to say that Reagan was a good or bad president. I just think that if that was the tactic, it worked.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I just think that like that when both sides, you know, I guess we'll get into this second right now, but you know, both sides were very, very nervous about the notion that we're one step away from having missiles flying. You know, and I think that if in Ooh, fact
they were scared enough to have spies over here,
yeah.
so
well, but
we had some folks over there too.
The reality was at that time, if it did in fact turn out that it wasn't John Hinckley who was in love with Jodie Foster and was a KGB agent, that
well, yeah, elaborate on that a little because that
crazy
you know,
John Hinckley,
you, yeah, a lot
what
of people
a bizarre
don't know.
Story.
I know, right? I think that's so weird, and I always felt like, God, did Jodie Foster feel bad about that? I just want to ask Martin, did we get that caller back or no? Are we?
No, they haven't called back.
And why don't you do me a favor and turn the air on for me, sweetheart?
Yeah.
It's a little hot.
Yeah,
here.
I know.
Thank you.
I'm on it.
Why don't you tweet at us?
Yeah,
too,
I want to know what that was. Like, well, whatever.
In any event,
it was a spy trying to get a message across.
Probably.
Oh my god.
Maybe that was our one. Oh, maybe we should leave the building.
But can we?
Well, yeah. So,
elaborate on the Jodie Foster.
Well, it turned out that the guy who did try to make the assassination attempt on Reagan was this crazy guy named John Hinckley, mm-hmm. and the reason why he did it was he was trying to impress the person who he is in love with and stalking, actually, Jodie Foster.
And it's because he watched Taxi Driver. He watched Taxi Driver, which Jodie Foster is in when she was very young. I think he watched it like 15 times in the theater or something like that in the first month that it was out.
Super scary. Creepy because she was young.
Yeah. She was playing a child prostitute. Yeah. And the thing is that in Taxi Driver, Robert De Niro's character, Travis Bickle, was trying to assassinate a man who was running for president.
Uh-huh.
And so this was his attempt.
Sol Shepard's office.
So this was his attempt to get her attention by somehow reenacting
the
Taxi Driver.
That totally makes sense because if a guy ever did that for me, I'd be like, and let's get married.
Right.
Obviously.
As you do. Yeah.
And I'll visit you in jail. Totally.
He's committed.
Totally fine.
He's into you. There's no doubt that he's not into you. Yeah.
No doubt.
And may not off you at any given time.
You know, he'll get it done. He'll get you that Caesar dressing if the waiter didn't bring it. He'll make sure it happens.
And if somebody even looks twice at you.
Yeah.
All right. It's over.
Love it. So hot. so hot right now. So,
but if it was, if it wasn't John Hinckley, and if it was a KGB agent, then it would be a complete act of war. And then if it got out that the KGB, the Russia assassinated our president, missiles would be flying.
Oh, it'd be done.
Which, by the way, that's what I was saying.
Missiles would be flying.
Right. That's what I was saying when they killed the security guard. I was like, and no one's going to be like, who killed the security guard outside of this man's house? Right.
I don't think they're going to jump to Russian spies, though.
No.
I don't. I really don't.
Well, they also got rid of him. So.
Especially
since... Yeah, that's true. They got rid of the
body.
They
got rid of him, but especially since they alluded to a lot of burglary and crime happening in that area, it would have just probably been handed off to that.
And Philip actually made a reference that he said something to the effect of, you know, we may have committed their first act of war here. Mm-hmm. We fired their first shot.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So. He and I thought the same. So
I think so.
I know. I love me some Philip.
He's the voice of reason. What?
Let's talk about the relationship now that we're talking
just
about.
Say
lovely.
That. Let's bring up, you know, Philip and Elizabeth, and clearly we've been battling with this. From the beginning, thinking, you know, I've always been on the side of Elizabeth just does not really care about him, and she's not into him at all. And he, you know, we saw from that very first scene where they came to the hotel from Russia, and he kind of like
put
a move on her, and she was like, whoa, hey. Yeah. I felt like ever since then... You know, he's been more into her than she was into him, except until the last, like, two
and
episodes.
Who argued with you that first time on that?
Well,
I thought she was feeling it.
I don't think she was until recently.
She totally was.
I agree.
No, you're all wrong. I swear you're all wrong, because...
It's only when somebody kills for her is when she looks twice at you.
It's true. Right. I'm serious.
If Philip killed Reagan for her... Like how Hinckley was going to kill Reagan for Jodie Foster.
I think we're talking about something else. But I do. I honestly think, because if you remember, they made a big point out of Elizabeth saying on that tape, "Can you act a little bit stronger?
Yeah.
Can you be a little bit stronger?" The problem that she had with the American citizens was that she felt they were weak. This is a very tough woman. She is an alpha female by a lot.
Yeah.
And a woman like that needs an extremely alpha male. And it wasn't till that moment that he straight out took him out because of what he had done to her. He took care of it. She wanted him after that. She felt it.
Or whatever his name
was.
Yeah.
Captain.
It could have been, and they ended up hooking up in the car after that.
Yeah.
So one could argue your stance, which is a valid point. I'm just saying, on the flip side, another valid side of the argument is that she, at that point, could have just been having sex with him in the car to keep him from defecting. At that point, because I still felt... watching her just as an actress and making subtle choices in her eyes and things that she was doing, I wasn't reading that, like, more vulnerable, I'm kind of feeling a little bit more attached to you, or I'm liking you more. Now we're starting to see in the last two episodes different looks in her eyes. Her touching his hand.
Yeah.
She's making the first move, and
she's girlier.
Way.
Like, when you see her
softer
with him, she's a little bit like...
She's definitely
I think
softer.
The actress
definitely.
Is
making, doe-eyed a little.
So I think... At first, it could have been a tactic, possibly, and since they also would refer to women being able to use their sexuality to get things, as opposed to the men being able to use their strength.
And their sexuality. He has some sex, too, with the ladies.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to work them over.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a woman can, I think, has a little more power sexually and less physically
men
sometimes.
Say it's always up to the woman.
So I think that they're encouraged to use that, and I think my argument is that in that instance, in the beginning, she would use her sex to maybe help him from not defecting at that point. Now, I think it's a different story.
I do think, I agree with that, because you see her now, like, getting a little bit more physical with him, and then, like, that scene where they went to the hotel, it was a struggle for her to, like, let down her guard and actually, like, give in to doing it for...
Vulnerable.
For fun, because it wasn't for answers or intelligence or job kind of thing. And
she looked
uncomfortable, but, like, or maybe scared even, because it was about her heart versus, like, a goal.
Yeah,
exactly. Right.
I think that must be really hard. Like, she's been raped.
Yeah.
She's essentially, in one way or another, been kind of a prostitute, you know, in the sense that she's had to use her sexuality for a goal. I think that for that person, especially as tough as she is, it's really, really hard to be vulnerable and actually be intimate.
I wonder, we've seen a lot.
We met her boyfriend.
We met her boyfriend, Derek Luke. We seem to be sort of peeling back the layers of Elizabeth more and more, like, through flashbacks and everything else. And I feel like we're getting to know more and more more about why she is the way she is. And I wonder if we'll get some of that of Philip as well.
Hope so.
We haven't really had many Philip flashbacks.
No. Philip, yeah. I think, and you're absolutely right, I think why they're choosing to do that with Carrie Russell's character is because she was so closed off and cold. And Philip was much more of an open book. I mean, right. From the beginning, I thought I could tell, okay, he kind of likes her. He's sort of assimilating to the American culture.
Sure.
He loves his kids.
He kind of likes America. He likes to play sports. He was a lot more of an open book, and she wasn't. So I think maybe they need to let you in to her emotionally because that's through flashbacks and things like that, because she's not going to just open up right away. As we can see, it's hard for her to do that.
Yeah.
But I think eventually, there's got to be some stuff that Philip went through too.
And we're seeing, I think what we're seeing with Philip is, back to how they both approach this job. Philip is, taking this more intellectual approach of like, well, these are all just people. Like, they're people in Russia and they're people here in America. They're crazy. Let's try to intellectualize this whole thing and see what's going on. Whereas Carrie Russell's like, no, they're the bad guys. They're evil. They want to kill us. They're evil. Don't you know they're evil? So she's a real ideologue in that sense. Mm-hmm. And he's more of an intellectual.
You're kind of interesting.
And his priority is the family.
Yeah, and of course, there's a family in there. But I was just to settle this thing between you guys, and my final word on this is, I think you're both right. I think that it's a progression. I think it's a progression. I think that she definitely was not feeling Philip at all. The car thing helped. I mean, not the car, but her the thing in the car.
The car sex.
Murder and car sex helped.
The murder and car sex. But I think she was. I think she's probably 50%. Well, I'm going to say she's 50% trying to keep him there, but 50% starting to feel him as well. But obviously, these last two episodes, she's seeing him in a different light.
Totally.
Because he is truly being that strong guy who she wants him to be, especially today.
Yeah.
Like, she's seeing him like, and he told her like,
and he was right. We're going to do it my way. And he was right.
Right. He put his foot down.
And then she had sex with him the next
scene. Straight to the bedroom.
Which we knew that she would do.
Because I think she looked at her kids. I think she came out in that moment. Mm-hmm. And when her son was like, when did all of these millions of people die? And she realized that she could inadvertently or not be responsible for millions of people dying, maybe even her children. I think that's when she realized that he was right, saw his point of view, and really is starting to see him for the man that he is, which is kind of an extraordinary man.
Yeah.
She was 22, forced with him. She never dated anybody else. I mean, I thought what was cool about the affair was that it revealed just how deep where Philip is coming from is and how hurt he was by that, because he's never done that, never lied.
Yep.
And it forced her, it humanized her by revealing that she did have an intimate relationship with someone.
She's capable of it,
She's capable of it. And it forced her to being truthful, because he basically was like, fine, I'm done with you. Forced her to actually get real and intimate with him, which escalated the relationship in that moment when she explained herself, I came here, I was with you, it was never that between us.
Right.
Yeah.
And she forced him to admit that.
Well, she tried to make up for it at the beginning of this episode. It was her idea to go on the little getaway. The little getaway was her idea. So.
Cute.
You know.
We talked about that, just to tail end that conversation last time. We talked about her, basically repeating what you just said. She was not feeling it, and then what? I don't know. I think I agree with you on where the story is going, I think. Just maybe not where it was starting.
I think what's going to be interesting and cool about the show is that it seems like it's really going to, in a kind of like, I don't know if the word is mature, but real way, develop this relationship.
Yeah.
And that
they're really just starting out late in the relationship.
They're starting out late in it
of course.
Actually connect and have the romance, but it's really going to develop it. I think we're going to get really invested, and then some kind of political event is going to come and throw a wrench
and rip them apart. Like, we see them bicker and fight about things, and obviously, they take their work home with them.
Of course.
And that's why they say don't mix business and pleasure, because of that. And it's why don't talk politics with people that you love. And, they're doing all of those things.
Of course.
So it's tricky. You know what I'd love to see, though? I would love to see some of their training.
Yeah.
I want to see more of that.
Right.
We got a little bit of that with flashback with Elizabeth,
I want to see more, right?
Like how they lose their accent, like how they become such great actors. Oh. Where do they come up with these, they just have a script they come up with out of nowhere. Yeah. They're great improv actors.
Where do they get these great disguises?
Well, obviously the wig store down the street.
But I think it's funny that they do, you're right. They come, you know, in this episode, they walked up to that nurse and they had the whole, and then they gave her the little pin. I mean, they were like, bam, bam, bam.
They had the government car, you know, they had,
I mean,
all they said to us was, we need a government car. We're like, whoa, bam. Right.
And then all of a sudden they're like, hi, my name is this and this, and his name is this and this. And we just da da da. And it was like, all just to get her to say, all of that just to get her to say, no, he's fine. And then they're like, oh, let's go transmit.
I mean, can you imagine how crucial that one little moment is, you know, in that story? Like the nurse just going, yeah, it's all good.
It's back to what I love about the show, that really the spy stuff. They like the intelligence gathering is real intelligence gathering.
Yeah, those tiny little moments.
Yeah, what do we have to do? Let's go find the nurse.
And then when she drove across the, sorry for interrupting, drove at the tiny moment made me think of that. When she drove across the bridge and just reached out her hand and grabbed whatever that was stuck to the.
Yeah.
It's like you blink and you miss it, but it's like all very relevant.
She's like, yep, it's still on.
There it is.
Get our targets.
And that's, I mean, you have to think that's who you would be targeting is the, like he does, the secretary.
Yep.
Right.
And the assistant and the person that doesn't think that they're important enough to spill the beans on anything big.
Good point.
But they are because they pick things up. And that's what's really interesting because the person that really does have all of the information knows they have it and they're not going to give it up unless you're giving them a blowjob like an episode.
This is also really interesting that they are. I'm assuming they're given like certain commands that they need to do, or okay, go do this, go do that. But also, I feel like that meeting with that nurse, that was just them. Like, all right, let's tap our resources.
Yeah.
How do we figure out who do we go to? Okay, this is the nurse that was on, you know, that was part of the staff that was helping the press.
I would like to see some of that, like the brainstorming about the plan for the next thing.
I know. Right, I just think it's so interesting how they come up with
that. There's really only one way they could have done it, which was to have a government car and pose as government agents.
Exactly.
And they play it off like, oh, thank you for today. And by the way, the vice president thanks you for your work today. And by the way,
here's a
pin. The president, great.
Here's a pin.
And don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Don't tell anyone this happened. That was great.
And I just think it's interesting to think that nobody from Russia told them to do that. They're just like, this is what we need to do.
This is the piece of information. Don't care how you get it.
Yeah.
So can we talk about intelligence gathering on that side. Let's talk about the FBI.
Yes.
The intelligence gathering on the FBI side.
You almost forget about that.
The FBI side... I think the whole FBI side is interesting, but they're on the relationship tip of it, the husband and wife across the street. I think what was cool about what they introduced this week, other than that, it's like just very real, you know, in terms of a relationship. They've just totally grown distant. He can't connect with her anymore. Is that what would it be, Philip and Elizabeth, because they are partners in spying, because I was going to say crime, because here it is a crime. Because they are these partners in crime, it allows them to connect in a way that those two... you know, that drove a wedge between them because he was off doing this undercover. He was doing the exact same thing they are, deep, 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 deep cover for 5 years, and it changed him.
Of course.
It made him a different human being, and it made him unavailable to his wife. It's really funny to have that parallel.
Yeah.
All right.
Because you think they're so different.
And you also think how horrible were the things that he had to do in that situation. Because wasn't he in like some crazy, what was he? He was like in a...
I don't know. Where did
he was in a gang, but
he was like in a white supremacist.
Yeah, that's what it was.
So you think he won't talk about it.
No.
No, he had to participate in their rituals and their things that they would do and their murders. And
he didn't like it.
I think somebody asked him in that one episode and said like, did you have to kill people? And he was like,
no, I think the guy was like, oh, what? I think one of his colleagues was joking and said, oh, what was it just this, that, and the other? I don't remember. And he's like, no, a little deeper than that.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. It's a little more real than what you're talking about.
You can tell that there's some stuff brewing underneath the surface with him.
Oh, yeah.
And you really got to see in that scene with his wife.
He's great. Noah Emmerich, is that his name?
Noah Emmerich.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
It was a great this show, like we were talking about, there's so many dualities here, like between Elizabeth and Philip, and between the Americans, the FBI and the KGB, and even here, it's so interesting to see. You know, we've got all the action stuff happening, and then we've got all the emotional stuff happening, and there's always those really. That's when the really good acting comes out. We saw that last episode with. Philip and Elizabeth in the alleyway when you just brought that up, when he was, you know, she said, he said, you've never lied to me and all that.
Our favorite scene, great scene.
It was a great scene, and we had that again this episode.
Yes.
And it was, you know, got really hectic with, Elizabeth and Philip were in the van, and oh my God, here's the cops. Like, your heart gets racing in those sort of like panic action moments, but then it also brings you emotionally in these great, still, calm scenes.
It's amazing in this giant show where the stakes are so high in the entire show. It's Russia versus America. It's spies. It's nuclear weapons. All this stuff. It's war. And the stakes are so high, but the most amazing moments, most tense moments are between Elizabeth and Philip.
Just standing there.
And just working out the inner dynamics of their own relationship.
Yeah, you almost feel like they're at war with each other sometimes.
Well, they are.
But it's like, it's just that tension, you know, to be able to do what they do in that. And also,
they're
coming from different angles at it, so that and then they're in love, or are they in love? And the whole thing is that's the best part of the show to me.
Yeah, totally. I also think what's going to be interesting about them is to see, you know, what's more important,
right?
Yeah. Because as you know, their love is growing, and it seems to be quite important, especially this family, you know, little dynamic that they have going on. What's going to be more important, the cause or the family?
I mean, the big question with Elizabeth is, and I think we can kind of answer it with Philip, but not for sure yet, is she ever going to love him as much as she loves Russia? And it doesn't look like that's the answer.
I mean, I wonder if it's that simple. I wonder, you know, I don't think it's probably that simple for her or anybody that really has that level of commitment to whatever it is that they do.
Right.
I mean, and what she does, I don't know. It was weird because I was watching it and I was thinking, like, there's some part of me that admires the ability to commit that deeply to what you believe is the greater good. Whether I think it's the greater good or not isn't the issue. You do. And you know what I mean?
I'm not saying that it's in her mind it's that black and white. I'm saying as the storyline or as an audience member, you wonder, is she ever going to be able to love him like she loves? Because with him, I would say, I mean, I think he might love her and his family and more than
the
cause.
He's already there. Right? He's already out.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
The
question with her is she ever going to get to that point?
I think the only way that will happen is if her country fails her in some way or deceives her.
I think that.
And I think they will.
When her kids come into play, because that's her Achilles heel.
Can we talk about Nina? Because, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure you want to talk about Nina. Somebody in this room has a huge crush on Nina, and I'm not going to point that person out.
It's me. Just kidding.
Nina's a really cool character because she also serves to give that other perspective, you know? And she kind of gave us really important information tonight, too.
And she's sort of the middle. I mean, she was KGB or is or was.
Well,
and now
she's almost like a double agent.
She's a double agent because, we're talking about this duality here between the American and the Russian side of the show.
Right. I didn't think she was KGB.
No, I just thought she was KGB. Russian embassy.
She works at the embassy. And she was swindling them.
Right.
Yeah.
She was swindling them. She got caught. So now she has to work for the FBI and it's very dangerous. But she was never KGB.
Okay.
But I think she's just caught in a bad situation.
Yeah. But I was curious about what that exactly she was doing behind the scenes, though.
Right.
Well, at the embassy?
Yeah. Like, what if she was
a spy? I think she'd be a spy within her own.
No, but I mean, I just didn't know what she was doing behind the scenes. I mean, I guess not KGB, but I just didn't know. They never really allude to exactly what she was.
Well, I think, like we've said, it's a parallel. So they're going to the nurse, right? They're going to, like, I'm going to go find the nurse. I'm going to go find the secretary that works for the FBI.
That makes sense.
And I'm going to gather this information. The FBI is doing the same thing. Yeah. They're going to the person that they think is vulnerable in any part of the Russian sort of organization to try and gather information. And so they've tapped this girl to try and get information. Like, everybody wants the same question. They're like, what are the Russians doing? What are the Americans doing? Like, let's not blow up things, you know?
Right.
They're all trying to avoid this nuclear war. And so they're going to her, like, what are you hearing? You know, have you heard that anyone from Russia is behind this? Or is something happening over there that we should know about?
And she had
minimal.
Well,
you know,
the reality
she didn't think they were involved.
The Russian embassy at that time, I mean, the Russia was pretty much our enemy. So the Russian embassy at that time, everything they were talking about that time is pretty much
classified
sensitive stuff as to how we're going to deal with our enemy. And so that's why it's valuable to have her there. Even when Ray got shot, they were the whole office. You saw that embassy was buzzing and trying to figure things out. High level staff meetings of what are we going to do and how vulnerable are we? Is this a coup? And so when she suggested to the head of the embassy, I guess he's the head Russian ambassador.
Yeah.
When she suggested to him that I'm going to go to this bar where the Americans hang out and try to eavesdrop and see if I can find some information out, he's like, yeah, by all means, go out. We can report. So she is sort of a de facto spy. Yeah. She's not a spy. Right. She's not KGB trained agent.
Yeah.
But
she's
a de facto spy because she is actually going out to get intel for Russia.
You know, and it was right there for her in the bar.
Yeah, the bar was like, your boss sucks.
Your boss is an idiot. It's like the VP and the and the Secretary of State's like staff arguing with each other, which
they
thought was pretty funny.
Happened to be there.
Because, you know, well, actually, to me, I felt like that was seemingly pretty possible. You know what I mean? That argument would take place.
It'd be like us going into a restaurant in L.A. and surprisingly someone's talking about movies or their boss who's like a celebrity or whatever it is.
Of course.
That was the area they were in.
It's totally plausible that that could happen. Clearly, it's not like but it is.
You have a theory about her, though, don't you?
Yeah, that's my prediction. I'm saving it.
Well, okay,
just to finish on that, I love the whole, you know, we're getting deep into that level of mistrust. Well, first of all, again, it's a storytelling device. Nina's interesting because she gives us the FBI perspective, but she also gives us a peek inside that embassy, so we kind of know what they're what they're doing. This is stuff. What's happening in that embassy is stuff that that Philip and Elizabeth don't necessarily know.
Oh yeah,
So it's kind of cool for us to be able to see inside the embassy. See that perspective of it as well.
She's the straddle there,
and we're afraid for her at the same time.
Of course,
because when Stan was going to meet her and they had to walk right by each other because she was being tailed by her own people. I mean, no one trusts anybody. At this time, it's crazy. You don't trust
your own. And she might not be KGB trained or whatever, but they both like made eye contact with each other and were like, don't do it, and walked right by.
How do you even know how to do that?
That's what I'm saying. So there's something.
I don't know. I think I could do that. I think I could do a little.
But I mean,
you know, I think anybody could pick that.
I think I'd probably falter a little.
Well, that does speak to the like you said, Jen.
I think that's just self-preservation,
right? You know, the paranoia.
The paranoia within that's also.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that if you knew that you were told by somebody who was like basically running your show all of a sudden now, you need to be here to talk to me. What would not make her just stop in front of
him? Because she understands where she is. I mean, she's a smart woman. I think it's very clear that she's an intelligent woman. She's the one that said like that. This is how it happens. One little mistake is how it happens. Mm-hmm. There's wisdom in that. I think that if you are working for an embassy in a hostile country, I think if any one of us was working in an embassy in, I could name a lot of countries right now, that would be a hostile environment for us to be working in as an American and dangerous.
That's what ARCA was
potentially
about.
Dangerous.
Exactly.
You would be smart enough to know that in that situation, don't stop because that could equal your death like that. I mean,
she gets it. What made her stop? Just the eye contact, you're saying?
Yeah.
What made her stop? She knew she was being followed, and so she said, don't.
Oh, well, see, yeah.
Well, this one I don't know. So that was, I didn't mean that at all.
I don't know that she thought I don't she was know being
that,
followed.
I don't know that she, I don't know if he saw the tail and he gave her the eye, or she knew that she was being tailed.
That's what I'm saying.
Gave him the eye. I read it like he saw the tail.
And he gave her the eye.
And he's like, but he kept walking.
I saw him, they it was a over the shoulder a shot on him making eye contact. They didn't know. I don't know that if she got that or not. That's what I'm saying.
Well, she did because she kept walking.
Well, right, but in the moment, you don't see her react. So you're like, what's she going to do?
The guy in the window saw it. He was like, he's hoping that they said he saw it.
They don't have the earpiece, so they can't.
I really honestly think that's just self-preservation. You know how dangerous what you're doing is.
Yeah.
You know that's a trained FBI agent, and if he shakes his head like, bitch, lady, don't stop. Right. You know what I mean?
I mean, I didn't even see him signal anything.
I didn't see him shake his head. That's what I'm saying.
She only would have stopped if he stopped.
I completely agree with you, Roth. Of course she's not an idiot, and she's not. I'm just saying, what went down to make her know that? Of course, I don't think, she did not know she was being followed. And B, he did not really make a signal.
I think
she was waiting for him. In my moment, that's what I was thinking. She was like, if he doesn't tell me to stop, then I don't even want to have this conversation with him anyway, so I'm just going to keep walking away.
Right. I mean, it was his
play. I don't think that she was like, I'm being followed and I have to walk by and I'm going to signal to him. No, hell no. She didn't know what the hell was going on.
That's a great signal you just did.
I did not like
that signal. But it's very interesting, though, because every single person in the story has a side. And whether it's an emotional thing or whether it's, you know, a job thing, we're straddling the fence between the story and emotional through the whole entire episode and through the whole entire season so far. And I think that's what makes this show so good. And we love to debate about it because there's so much to debate about. And we want to hear
how American.
How American. If you go to iTunes and rate and comment.
If we were in Russia, we'd all be shooting each other.
Right.
So, no debate. I win the debate.
But no, but.
Yet.
Yeah, right. Yet.
Da. Yet is my favorite
da,
word.
Da. Yet.
But since we're not and we're in America, we would love to hear what you have to say. So go to iTunes and yes. rate and comment and continue the conversation. Keep it going. Tell a friend. 5 stars is what we like over here.
Fives.
And answers to our questions or yeah. maybe some historical facts that we didn't cover.
We yeah. could be missing tons of things, too. The show is chock full of things. So if there's
anything, I know everything.
Yeah, I mean,
one of our YouTube viewers actually wrote in about what that box was, that it was a transmitter.
Right.
And thank you for that, because yeah, somehow we missed it.
See, so there's things that we'd love to hear from you guys. So thank you so much for, you know, listening and watching, and please
and
go
almost ahead. Calling. Almost
and,
calling.
Thank you for that caller. We don't know what happened.
And also,
caller.
You right. can, what is everybody's Twitter? Because people can just tweet
during
us live during the show. And we'll, yeah. I do that all the time and answer back during the show. What's your Twitter?
At Joe K. Braswell. At Joe K. Braswell.
At Jen the Geo.
And I am at Lauren Leonelli.
I'm at Roth Cornett, Rothcornet. I swear people maybe don't know what you just said.
Jen the Jew. Yeah, that's true. It's real. Jen the Jew.
You heard it right.
Jen the Jew.
It's not a joke. It's real.
She's Jen.
Follow.
She's a Jew.
Follow and tweet. Thank you very much. All right. Well, I think we should probably move on to some little news and gossip, shall we?
Sure.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So now, as I said last week, there's never a ton of news surrounding this show other than it's on the air. And Carrie Russell was once a Mickey Mouse Club member.
Yes. Felicity.
I watched that.
And Felicity. Yeah. And so, you know, some of the things that are out there are just interviews with the cast. And recently, Carrie Russell did one about the fact that she is no longer a Mickey Mouse Club member mm-hmm. and Felicity, and now she's on TV giving blowjobs. So
she did that for IGN.
Yeah,
yeah,
a bunch. I mean, I would assume that the questions are probably pretty similar. You know, what's it like no longer being squeaky clean?
Well, it's like she, giving head. You know, it's interesting. We talked about this too. We're so used to seeing Carrie Russell be like the meek, quiet girl, like in Felicity or even in movies that she's been in. And here we get to see her be a badass, pull a gun out and shoot a security guard point blank in the head, and then cover the splatter with a little tissue thing. I mean, amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah,
she is saying that she's enjoying, you know, not being so squeaky clean anymore and playing this alternate role. And she also won Best Hair for an award recently.
She does have good hair.
She has amazing hair. And that is why it was a travesty in Felicity when she cut it off.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That should have never happened. Killed the show when she killed her hair.
Jumped the shark when they cut the hair off.
Oh, yeah. But so speaking of some of the other characters in the show, Roth, you had some information about Matthew Rhys.
Barely. You know, I spoke to him super briefly at the TCA's at like a cocktail party. And he said a lot of the things that we already know about how, you know, his character is going to continue to be conflicted as the season goes on, about how he is 100% committed to the family and she's an idolat. We spoke about his experience of the Cold War. He's Welsh, which was also pretty interesting.
Uh-huh.
But he did say this. He said that dynamic between them is going to be escalating to a huge confrontation by the end of the season. So I don't know what that means. We'll find out.
But we will maybe make some predictions about that.
What?
Yeah. All right. Is that all for our news and gossip? Okay, well then let's move on to our predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Well, I have a prediction about Nina.
Uh-huh.
Do it.
I think when Nina met Stan in the car, finally, and they had a little combo, and she alluded to the fact that she, you know, she doesn't know for sure, but that she didn't think that the Russians were involved in this assassination attempt. I tend to pick up on some subtleties here. And in that situation, I picked up on a little ST. That's what we like to call sexual tension.
Oh.
And I think that...
Is that what we call it?
That's what we call it.
Little ST.
And I think that Stan was giving it off a little bit more than she was. He's in the position of power. And also, we found out later that Stan and his wife don't have a very, like, close relationship anymore. So I think that he could be a little lonely. And I think that only furthered my feeling of that little meeting in the car. And I totally think that Stan and Nina are going to have the sex.
This is how people become multicultural. Because
right.
then they mix.
Exactly.
And then there are little baby Russian Americans.
That's what makes the world go round.
Exactly.
Right. It all starts with a little ST.
That's right.
It does start with ST. I agree. I will second that.
Thank you very much.
I second that nomination.
Jen the Jew.
Oh, I have a prediction.
Oh, okay, yes.
And I kind of said it earlier. So sorry,
go,
Joe.
Go.
I think I just keep just stealing your lines.
Go.
But I do think, as I said earlier, that there will be some conflict. Like you had also mentioned, Roth, that their relationship will get stronger, Elizabeth and Philip, and it will sort of be like a relationship versus country thing, where if their country screws up, yep. it will, you know, make them even closer and them against their country. And you know, I feel like, you know, when in conflict, you sort of, what is that? Not Stockholm syndrome, but you're like,
oh yeah, yeah.
Right. Everything's heightened.
Yes.
Yeah. So their relationship
they're
will be
emotional,
heightened.
Right. And, yeah, exactly. I agree. Right.
I have to use my hands to say these things. I can't get there otherwise.
For those of you listening, she's using her hands. For those of you watching, you can see.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, yeah.
No, you go ahead.
My prediction is obviously very, very similar, but more specifically, I think that we're going to have some sort of showdown / confrontation continuing between Elizabeth and Philip. But I think it will really come. I think it will come through. I call him Claire Mags from, Margot Martindale. What's her name?
I love
Claudia.
Yeah.
Mags.
I was going to call her Mags from Justified.
From Justified.
But,
Granny.
Claudia, yeah, because Granny, who was great in this episode, by the way.
Yeah.
She was great. But I think that
she's great one line.
Another scene, another great scene, another great still scene.
Between the two women, you know, kind of like, I did this back in the day. Mm-hmm. I'd have your training, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But I think she's going to really come down with some orders that will sort of really. Really conflict them both.
She is not to be trusted, by the way.
She's going to say, I need you to do something.
Yeah. Never.
I know you can do this, Carrie Russell. You're going to have to do this. Philip, not so much, but you and I are women. You can do
and
this.
And I think that might have been a little manipulation happening there, too.
Absolutely. That's why she went to her and not to him.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
When she said that if this goes down, you'll do well.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think that they know because there are reports on him and she's made reports on him before. So they know that Philip's a little shaky and they're trying to make sure she's still in the fold.
Right.
Exactly.
I have a very simple prediction that it's all about the relationships, that the teenagers, that's going to start to play a more complex role.
Homeland.
I know, but it is very Homeland. But I also liked what she said tonight about them looping the same scene over and over again.
Uh-huh.
And though she apologized, and I understood why, because it seemed like she was being cavalier about it, there was something interesting about that, about media and how that started to change and affect things. So that made me wonder, maybe they're going to start to pepper in some of that about media too and how that's affecting the Cold War
and
perception.
MTV's right around the corner.
But they are right around the corner, but you're predicting that the daughter and the next door neighbor boy son get together.
Right.
I am a little bit. I think they already are kind of like
they felt like they did tease something in that thing which is has to be relevant, the fact that his dad is Secret Service.
Right.
Yeah.
So that has to
be relevant. And then I also like my dual prediction is that the show will also
how many predictions do you have here?
It's two.
You're only allowed one.
It's that the kids are getting together and that the media they're kind of the same.
They
and
are.
That the media will start to play more of a role. I hope so, because that's more interesting.
It is. And it'll make, and we'll get to see some fun little blasts from the past if they do that, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love seeing those clips because, obviously, some of us were very young then.
Yeah.
So to see it again as though it's happening, it's kind of like I'm learning even more about what already happened.
It makes you think about.
You called me old. Yeah.
It was so not directed at you, but now it is.
It makes you think about what was going on behind the scenes in a real moment in time.
Yeah.
And it makes it very interesting. And that's why we love this show. And we love you guys for watching and tuning in. So thank you so much for doing that. And we have the band back together this week.
Yay, band.
Yay.
So, you know, like we said, please rate and comment us on iTunes, tweet us, and you can find me at Lauren Leonelli on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and my website.
You can find me at Jen the Jew on Twitter, Instagram, and JenniferGolden.com.
And?
Oh, what?
Your YouTube video.
Oh, and I'm also in the Women of L.A. YouTube video. In case you haven't seen it, I don't know who you are that hasn't seen it.
800,000
hits.
That's right.
I have some videos out. I have I went up to ILM. I have a piece on ILM, Star Wars, and Lucasfilm on Grantland.com, ESPN's Grantland.com.
This guy.
Premiered last Thursday. The next one airs tomorrow, every Thursday, Grantland.com. And I'm also here the following and Justified and this show as
well.
You're
busy.
Nice.
And watch Extra because I'm there too. And
he's all over the place
at Joe K. Braswell.
Yeah, I'm also on TV. I'm not on TV at all. You can find me on Twitter though at Ralph Cornett, and you can find my work on IGN.com. If you like geek stuff, you will like IGN.
Yay for the geeks!
I'm a geek.
All right, we will see you guys next week. Bye.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.